Any friends, etc., spending more than 30 minutes at the dwelling will need to pay rent.
It's a room of one's own with Auckland renters advocate Celine on 95 BFM.
Hey Celine, how are you?
Kia ora. I'm all right. We all today?
Well, we're all just riding the waves, yeah. Aren't we?
Weather keeping us inside, which I love.
Yes. How's the world of renting? Cooked as always?
Cooked as always, yeah. And I guess a shift today, so that's something we should talk about
too. Let's start with that one, just had a question come in from somebody who wants to know what the deal is with talking to your landlord about contractors, handymen, and the landlord themselves visiting the property, and how and if you can ask about their vaccination status.
Yeah, I was reading up this morning just to try and like get a hold on what red means, because I do think they tweak things slightly as we go back into these levels.
Yeah.
So if you are encountering any problems like that, I would recommend kind of going onto tenancy services and reading the whole COVID thing, because it's quite intricate and a lot of it is like, because of this, you can't do this. It's quite intricate. Mm. So I would read all of that. But yep. In general, I would say we're in level 4 and things like that. We brought in protections where you can, as a tenant, say, no one can come.
Yeah.
There's a lot less of that in this level. Basically, most of those situations that I've seen, you can have a conversation with the landlord about how you don't want someone unvaccinated, but you can't stop them coming.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very much like around trying to convey your feelings to your landlord and hope that they respect that, and if not, then finding other ways to work around it. Like they're kind of suggesting that if you don't want to be there for a property inspection, if your property manager is unvaccinated, they might do an inspection when you're not home, which seems like not enough protection.
Yeah.
But that's kind of where it looks like it's at the moment.
Okay. Might be one to keep an eye on that space, I reckon.
Hopefully
we get some maybe politicians with an interest in this area doing some advocacy on that behalf. If anybody's listening, would be great.
I would just say as well, if you're having trouble with that, you can always see if the Auckland Renters Tenants Protection Association can help. But mm-hmm. also, if you have a story, I would just email it to Renters United, and they're kind of keeping a big database of these stories to then know how to advocate, what kind of things are coming up, and then they might even be able to, if you're interested, reach out to you for a media story or something to show what's going on. So I would just make a record of it if you're having this problem.
Cool.
If you don't need the direct help as well, just try and record it somewhere.
Totally. Okay, that is really good to know. Just while we're in that ballpark as well, it is okay to ask for people coming to your house to be masked and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So there is, that's a really good point. It is very much about, red is about contact tracing. And I'm sure in the next phase that might change a little bit, but at the moment they're basically saying, you know, property inspection can happen, open homes can happen with the tenant's consent, but then you don't seem to have a great case to argue you don't want it at all. You have to be like, but you definitely are meant to be having contact tracing and distancing and masking and all of that. So you can be super vigilant about all of that stuff at the very least. And then in some cases you can basically argue that you're really uncomfortable. So there can be arguments to try and do things via Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
I would say just stand your ground and try and get some support, but there's definitely reading that whole document to try and see what you've got. Don't stand for what you're not comfortable with in your home. So
your health and safety should be the priority at the moment.
Absolutely, and I would hope a lot of landlords and things would understand that. So,
absolutely. Yeah. You can but ask.
Absolutely.
It's a good place to start. Okay, we've got some other ones that have come in this morning and in the last week. What do you do if your house was nearly broken into? This is so hectic. This is a hectic story. What do you do if your house was nearly broken into by a meat cleaver wielding man in a helmet mid last year, and the landlord still hasn't put locks on the window even though he said he would? Lol, is how they have signed that off.
That's awful.
First of all, sorry to that person. That sounds so stressful.
Absolutely, and I hope we're not the first port of call, because I don't know how helpful I can be. But I'm sorry. That's really full on. And before anything like that happens, your landlord is supposed to provide like locks in a way for the house to be reasonably secure. So I would say locks on the windows would be part of that. And basically they're that's supposed to be happening anyway. Mm-hmm. So you've definitely got a case to be making that happen. You can maybe look at sending a 14-day kind of letter to remedy to give them a time limit in which they need to do it.
Yeah.
You could also, for something like this, I think to do with security, there's grounds for you to get the locks put in and then charge them.
Yeah.
But again, a lot of people aren't in a position where you can do that. So I would look at getting a notice to remedy and bringing some kind of like some of the legal mechanisms around to just make that happen.
Totally.
You shouldn't be kind of living with that uncertainty.
Yeah. We laugh, but we only laugh because it's horrifying.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That sounds so
horrific.
Stressful.
Yeah. Scary as.
Big aroha. What else have we got here, Zoe?
All right. This person says, my property manager treats me and the girls in the flat in a super condescending and patronizing way. Like he thinks we're all dumb girls. How should I deal with this? I'm so sick of him.
First of all, I've been there in a previous flat. It stink. Absolutely. Solidarity. Not a good time.
Yeah, that doesn't sound enjoyable at all. And I'm not sure what other people would advise, but I would say that the property manager dealing with you are employed by someone.
Mm.
So like they're not kind of a landlord acting on their own, responsible for their own property. They're employed by your landlord. And I would say most people wouldn't kind of want to hear about that kind of situation.
Yeah.
So I would think about how you feel about maybe talking to their superior. Or I don't know if that's good advice, but I feel like it shouldn't really. You shouldn't really be putting up with it, especially as they're being paid to do a job.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
seems like you've got a reason to be able to complain about that.
Yeah, you also can find ways to gently stand your ground if it's possible. I mean, the situation I had was quite some years ago now, but the landlord would only ever communicate with the guys I lived with.
Mm.
And me and the other woman I was living with were like, hello, we're all tenants on the lease, equal tenants on the lease. Could you CC us into the emails? And, you know, just it took getting the two boys we lived with to be like, you need to have them all in the email. Legally, we're all entitled to the same information. You know, it's not fun to have to advocate for that kind of stuff. But if you can get the people you live with to sort of unionize around that, you have got rights. Especially if you're a tenant, you've got really specific rights about that stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And if it's the head tenant, and you're a flatmate, I would also be just really talking to them to make sure, as Rachel says, that you've got a united front.
Yeah.
And then that will make it harder for them to kind of only speak in the direction of the man in the room, which is my favourite.
Mm. Oh, dear. We've got a third one here from someone who says, my boyfriend and I want to break the lease on our apartment. It's a year long and it ends at the end of March. Because we've found a lovely new place, and after lockdown, we're sick of where we are. Do you know how to go about this in the best way? We really don't want to have to end up paying double rent, and we'd only be leaving the lease less than 2 months early.
It's a similar situation where I think that talking to them is the best way to go about it, because 2 months isn't very long. And basically, if you're breaking a lease, there can be a cost involved in that, but it basically says in the act that it should be a reasonable amount of money to do with the costs of you leaving earlier. So not this like punishment cost of breaking a lease,
yes.
But like
yeah.
what's the cost of advertising for a new tenant or something like this.
Totally.
But if it's only 2 months, you don't know really what their plans are. I would just say that you're planning on moving. If they could arrange something to make it a bit earlier or what that might work out as, I would really have a conversation about that. But again, just have a little look online to make sure you kind of know where you're placed for that. But there shouldn't be some big extreme cost involved in doing that. It should just be a conversation about logistics, I would hope, and finding kind of a mutually beneficial way to tie up the end of that lease. Just make sure that any agreement you have as to ending it early is in writing, both parties, and you have kind of a record of that so you don't get caught out later. That's really important.
Do you know where online you should look for that sort of stuff?
I would say tenancy services, although it's not always like aimed at the tenant only, it's kind of at both parties, they often have a lot of the official documentation there. So their website is usually pretty good to look at, but if you're Googling tenancy services and kind of broken lease, there'll be a whole page and they'll probably guide you through that. But then also the Community Law Centre have a really good online kind of document about renting that is often more advocacy based. It talks more about problems that you might come up against as opposed to just like the logistics of how things happen with no power written into it.
Yes. Right. And also all of these services have phone lines as well. So if you want to have a chat with a real person about it, there are really helpful people out there. Tenancy services, as you say, exists for both the tenant and the landlord. Doesn't mean it's not helpful for the tenants.
Absolutely not.
But it's a bit more like, this is what the law is.
Yeah.
There are advocacy services, though, which we will link in the bio of this when we podcast it. So hopefully you can find the resources you need, because it's hard out there for a renter. Thank you very much, Celine.
No problem.
Always wonderful advice. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
See you later.
A plague on both your investment houses.
That was A Room of One's Own with Auckland Renters Advocate, Celine.